Luke 17. We finished verse 1. Then he said unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. This is a reference to a procedure in the temple. You've probably heard me talk about it many times, but I want to talk about it again. During the course of the inspection of the oxen and the goats and the sheep, if they were imperfect, at the most pristine times or the purest religion, they couldn't be then used for anything. And then they, and so something was done with them. And then when they inspected the animal internally to see if the fat was in the wrong place and all that, then the live animals and the ones that didn't pass the test were put on a wagons and taken to the Dead Sea. And then the live animals, they hung a millstone around the neck and they drowned in the depth of the sea because they were a sacrifice that didn't pass the test. And the meat part was put into some kind of a bag and just a regular stone was used. But the millstone was really two stones, and they were, the oxen or asses went around in a circle to grind the grain between the two stones. And so when it says millstone, it's talking about both paths of the millstone. Now, let's look at Matthew 18. Start at verse 6. But who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck. And he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And it's woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom they cometh. The offense cometh. So anyway, you get the idea. Let's look at one more thing in Revelation 18. This is Babylon being destroyed.
Where did we go?
Revelation 18. Well, let's start in verse 16. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers, and musicians, and of pipers, and trumpeteers, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great, the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The thing about, well, that's just a reference to millstone reference, but the idea that the light of a candle shall shine no more, the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more. It's only by cause and effect that this great city lives and all become rich. Anyhow.
So was this conversation directed at Babylon?
Yeah. Well, remember, in the order of things, this chapter 17 of Revelation is a description of Babylon. It's the whore sitting on the seven mountains. And then Revelation 18 is the destruction of Babylon. And as we've talked about many times, judgment must first begin in the house of God. That's why we must come out of cause and effect. And then that, it's a metaphor, the city is a metaphor for the great whoredoms that sorceries by which the world was made, the merchants of the world were made wealthy. So the idea, we're studying millstones, but we can talk more about that if you want to. I think it happens at the same time that the seventh angel stands and says, the mystery of the bride is finished, time shall be no more. Now again, I think all this has to take place first in each one of us. Amen? The world and Babylon were the test. Now the mystery, the test is completed, so they've served their purpose. They shall then destroy. It's hard to think about it because it's such a complete, it's a metaphor that is all-inclusive. First Exodus was coming out of the world, the survival of the fittest. The second Exodus is coming out of cause and effect.
And that last verse, the blood of all that were slain is in Babylon, the harlot.
All right. Back to Luke. just repeat what we just, in verse 2, it will better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if they trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now again, this is not, the word against me or thee is not in the text. And it's the same in Matthew's version of this. It's if thy brother trespass. It's not necessarily against thee. And again, the word brother is adelphos. And it means out of the same womb. And so it's talking about those in a community, those that are tightly knit together. It's not talking about people all over the world. Because this is the real test of offending and forgiving. Is in this mystery of the Seder and the community, this tight-knit. These fences come all the time.
Verse 3, I don't understand verse 3. That seems to fly in the face of what I've heard my whole life.
What don't you understand?
Take heed, which means take listen to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Criticize him sharply, and if he repents, forgive him. So if he doesn't repent, then you don't forgive him. Is that what that's saying?
No, again.
And then criticize.
No, no, stop. I just said against thee isn't in the text. So if your brother trespass.
What does against thee mean?
It's not in the text. If thy brother trespasses and you see it, you rebuke him. Now, if he does it 7 times in a day and he repents, you still forgive him. Do you understand that you have the power to forgive? It's the point is, this is not about you or me. It's about trespass. Okay, let's go to Matthew 18. I think. We were just there, but let's go back there. Yeah. Again, here we have the same, Matthew's version of the same. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, and again, against thee, just as in Luke, is not in the text.
What verse are you?
15. Matthew 18. You got it?
Got it.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass, so go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican.
Why don't you take against thee out of italics or anything?
No, it's in every reference that I have. It's not in the text. Going back to the closest thing that can get to the original.
But the whole parable.
No, it has nothing to do with it. It's he trespass.
But I mean, the following, and if he shall neglect to hear, tell the church. I mean, it's between two guys, two girls, or whatever. It seems like.
it's whoever, if there's a trespass, our job is to rebuke one another daily, exhort one another daily, what it is still called today. And in that exhortation, sometimes it becomes a rebuke.
Seems obvious that if I see so-and-so that offending them, whether it's okay to me or to somebody else is immaterial.
Well, again, the issue is not about the idea of you forgiving. If you can't forgive everything, then God can't forgive you. It has nothing to do with a transaction. This is within a community. And then if he doesn't repent and you take it to go to the two witnesses and finally take it to the church, then he's like a heathen and a publican. Because he hasn't heard you or the witnesses or the church. Is that, you understand? You got to take you out of the picture here. That's why it's a brother that trespasses.
It came across as personal as if it was.
Pardon?
The way I interpret it, it appeared as if it was directed toward me and another person, believer, individual, whatever, against thieves.
Well, it could be, but it's not just that. Right, if you saw, let's assume that you saw somebody that's a secret alcoholic, you would go and tell him. You'd talk to him. If he wouldn't hear, then you'd take two or three so that every truth may be established. If you won't hear them, you take it to the church. It's the natural order of things. It has nothing to do with you as an individual. It's the idea of exhorting one another daily, what it is still called today. You understand?
It's within a community, right?
Yeah, it's a community deal. It's not.
Well, that's not the way I originally interpreted it.
Well, I know it because it has this, it has the two words, against thee, so it's something we take personal. It's not. It's against, if you see a brother trespass. Okay? Otherwise, all these things become personalized. You have hopefully forgiven everything. What? Yeah, you're doing it.
I agree with that.
Huh?
I agree with that.
All right.
I think your life is forgiveness. I still don't see why you take against the out. It doesn't matter that it's against you or against the community. It works both ways.
Right, but here it depersonalizes it in terms of against thee makes it too. It doesn't expand it to the ideas of what it says elsewhere that we exhort one another daily. And if the exhortation doesn't work, then you rebuke. But it's like the thing that we had with somebody in Oklahoma. You know, you have to forgive whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's not this a transaction that's described here because this is for the church, the community, the small community. First the Seder and then the community.
If the person doesn't repent.
Huh?
If the person doesn't repent.
Then he's unto you as a publican. But that's not the person in Guam, it's the person that you have daily contact with. All right? All right.
Yeah, next two verses later it talks about if they don't, just what they just say.
Yeah, all right. Let's go back to Luke. And again, the issue is the word brother, adelpho. And it means out of the same womb. Which is an incredible concept.
Yes.
Because the only womb for us is the New Jerusalem. That's our mother of us all. The rest of it is immaterial. It doesn't mean anything. It's just another thing. You're doing this out of love. But since you can't trust yourself, if you first take it to two or three witnesses, and then if he still doesn't, then you take it to the church. I mean, the thing will happen anyway. I mean, in the community, if it's like, even if you didn't go through this process, it would still happen that way because somebody would leave. Anyway, let's everybody understand a little bit? All right. All right, verse 3. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And so again, it's this, even if the repentance seems to you to be, I mean, we've dealt with it. I don't know how, maybe we haven't dealt with this as publicly as we should have, but I mean, this happens 1,000 times to me in the course of this community. So, I mean, if it was, it had nothing to do with me. It was the things that was going on. And we weren't set up most of that time in these Seder groups. It was just one group. All right, everybody. Let's look at, huh?
Did you repent?
I didn't hear.
Did you repent?
Did I repent?
You said it happened to you 1,000 times. So I just asked you if you repented.
It was a little Gary joke.
Oh, okay. Let's look at. Let's go back and look at Luke 8 just for a minute. We're looking at rebuke here. Yeah, this is an interesting line of rebuke. Verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the wind and the water, and they obey him. So he rebuked the wind. That's an incredible thought.
Yeah.
One more, 2 Timothy. He's talking, this is his last letter, shortly before he was beheaded. And he's talking to this young man, Timothy, that He's probably not that young anymore, but he's giving him his final instructions. So let's start in verse 10. This is important.
Which chapter?
Chapter 3.
I'm sorry, is this John?
Oh, do you mean chapter?
2 Timothy.
I'm sorry, chapter.
Oh.
Yeah, we're starting in verse 3.
Okay.
I mean, chapter 3, verse. Yeah, verse 10. And we're going to read through chapter 4, verse 2. So again, here Paul, he's in Rome. He's had the first round of being found guilty by the tribunal, which was included Nero. Waiting for the second round, which is determining the punishment. He's probably very sure that it's going to be death. And what was the charge? Anybody remember what he was charged with? Huh?
Hating humanity.
Hating humanity. All right. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers to satisfy their itching ears, is what it says. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them also that love his appearing or his presence. But in verse 2 is, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, they're not very nice. It's much better just to let things happen, let things go. But preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Don't just hang around. All right. That's enough for today. Any response? Any thoughts?
It's interesting. A little off.
was a little ego speak, wasn't it?
Stood out.
Hmm?
It kind of jumped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It does to me all the time when I read it.
Ego speak, that's a good phrase.
All right, anything else? Take it, big guy.